morning I want to talk to you about a scripture, about being a true friend. If you remember, Jesus talked about being a friend, and in chapter 15 of John, verses 9 to 17, I'm going to read them for you so that just follow along. It says this, starting in chapter 9, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other." Now, we could take a whole bunch of little snippets out of there, like some people have taken, "Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name." Well, come on now, let's be realistic here. That's not what he's saying. I want to talk to you about friendship, because friendship, how many people value friendships? Hopefully all of you value friendship. How many people find friendship is very difficult? Some of you are like, "No, man, I'm the best friend ever." Well, you're the difficult one. I'm going to guarantee you that right now. But friendship is something that we all want. And friendship is something that we strive for. They say that if you have one or two good friends in your whole lifetime, you're very lucky. But I want to say something to you that might be a little bit different than what others are saying about friends. I believe strongly that friendship can have a time span, and it doesn't mean it's bad. I believe that you can have a friend in high school, and then when you graduate, they're no longer your close friend. It doesn't mean they don't care about you. It doesn't mean that that friendship wasn't valued or valuable. It means that friendship was for a time. And the same goes in college, and the same goes when you go to work. If you move on and those friends don't connect, and it's just not something that, it can happen. You're very lucky if you have a friend from a certain point all the way to the end. Very lucky. But don't underestimate the value of a friend for a time. Just because they've moved on or you've moved on, it's still valuable to you. So remember that. In your life, you can look back now and say, "I don't know what happened to this person X in my life. They were friends and then they just stopped calling me. And so now I'm bitter and angry, and all the days of my life I will be angry at this person." There's no need for this. They were great in that time. Don't throw it all away because they're not now. Does it make sense? Yeah? So if you're in that situation now and you're holding bitterness, let go. You don't need that in your life. You don't need that in your life. But today, friendship is very valuable, and a lot of people expect a lot of their friends. How many have a friend like that? They could be sitting beside you. But they expect a lot out of you. And if you're able to give that and it doesn't, you know, harbor the relationship, it doesn't make it, well, that's great, then you work. But if it's one of those ones where it's high maintenance and it's a lot of work and a lot of effort, and every time you're like, "Oh, I got to do this," that's a struggle. So you either got to work through it, and you got to be like, "Hey, I'm going to work with this friendship no matter what they're like," then do it. But don't complain about it. You've chosen this, and we're going to get into this a little bit. So what is a Christ-like friendship? What is that like? Well, John 15, Jesus introduces this type of sacrificial friendship by commanding us to love one another. And again, I've said this before, where a year or so ago when I was pushing, we got to love people, we got to love on them and all that, you have to understand that I wouldn't say it if I didn't believe Jesus said it. I wouldn't say that we should go out there and love others, that we shouldn't. I wouldn't go and say this if it wasn't true, if it wasn't biblical. The Bible didn't say love each other as I've loved you. I wouldn't say it. So when people have said to me, get off your soapbox, I won't. Is it a struggle to love people? Yeah, of course it's a struggle. They're people. We're irritating. We irritate each other. When we walk in, sometimes just a person walking in the room irritates you. And they haven't even said anything yet. But it takes work. Does it mean they're less valuable? Does it mean you're more valuable? It just means it is what it is. But it takes work. It's sacrificial. And so, but we got to love. Doesn't mean you're going to be best friends with everyone in a room. Trust me, it ain't going to happen. First of all, you don't have the time. And second of all, it's not possible. Personality types, just it ain't going to work. But you can love people compassionately, be concerned. Yeah, it's difficult. Sometimes compassion isn't the easiest thing. Sometimes you can have less compassion for some and more for others. We're all like this, being real here, but it happens. But the thing is, do you love? And so Jesus speaks to his disciples, and he says, this is applicable to all of us. We're just not, he's not just saying it to his disciples, although he is speaking to them particularly, but he's talking to the church. Man, love everybody. Do it. Go out and do it. So I want to tell you the first quality of a true friend is sacrifice. The first quality is sacrifice. A friend will do the ultimate thing for another, even to the point of laying down their life. Do you understand the impact that that has in that statement in your life? That you would step in front of someone else to protect them. A sacrificial love. Greater than this love, no one has. Stresses the importance of this unbelievable friendship that Jesus had and that he showed us. That one would lay down their life on behalf of a friend. Very rarely, and this is a scripture, will anyone die for a righteous man? Romans chapter 5, 6. Or sorry, for a righteous person. But while we were sinners, Christ died for us. So it's easy to say, I want to protect someone who's good. That's easy, correct? So if somebody you like is in trouble, it's easy to go in and help. But what if you don't like them? That's a little bit more difficult. What if you don't know them? A little more difficult. Sacrificial love is easy if everybody likes each other. It's when you don't that it's a true sacrifice. Jesus did it on the cross. We're to do it for our friends. It points back to verse 12, love one another as I have loved you. It's tough. We need to be willing to give ourselves for others. Christians, you are called to do this. It's very clear. Obviously, we can't sacrifice ourselves on the cross for others, but we are called to sacrifice. What does sacrifice look like in your life right now? We don't like to sacrifice. Why? Because it usually hurts, because it's a sacrifice. So we try to tend to stay away from that. And a lot of times, positive thinkers and positive speakers will say to you, you know, it's about you, you got to think about you, and that there is a point to that where you have to worry about yourself at a certain point or whatever, and to build your self-confidence, and that's okay. But to sacrifice your life for someone else, right in the Word, I mean, a sacrifice in the Old Testament was an animal taken, throat slit, blood drained, sacrificed, burnt up in flames, becoming nothing for someone else. That's a sacrifice. In your life, where is that sacrifice? It's easy in North America to not have to sacrifice too much. Yes, people have been through tough things. Yes, we all have had bad experiences. Yes, there are horrific things that's happened here too. But you can walk down the street and go to church without getting shot right in the head or dragged out into the street. So sacrifice for our faith, I don't know how much we actually sacrifice as much as we think. Greater love has no one than he that lay down his life for his friends. On September 11th, Flight 93, a passenger and some other passengers defended themselves against hijackers. We've heard the story a million times. It's been 15 years, so we all have heard it. And his quote was, he phoned his wife from the plane and said, "Hey, somebody's taking over this plane. This is what's going on. We got to take him out." And he's like, he had a group of guys with him, and he said, "Let's roll." And they ran with that for a year or two. Let's roll. Let's go do this. And that, he didn't know what was the outcome was going to be. I mean, ultimately, you hope that you rush in, you take them down, everybody grabs the plane, you fly it in like Wesley Snipes, fly it in there, and then everybody gets out and there's a big parade. But no, this one crashed and was just obliterated. But he sacrificed his life for where that plane was going to crash into. Other ones made it to the Pentagon, to the towers. And so he stopped this particular one. But he said, "Let's roll." And he sacrificed himself, not knowing what would happen. He didn't know everyone on the plane. You've all traveled, bus, plane. Sometimes you don't want to get to know some of them. So you don't know everyone on a plane. And he sacrificed himself, hoping to save them, but also didn't realize where that plane was going, that he actually saved even more. So, greater love has no one than this, that they lay down their life for their friends. The second quality of a friend is transparency. Or not. Transparency. Click the button. Next slide. Arrow. Is it frozen? Oh, and it's off center. Nice. Well, and this one's going to give me a seizure for sure. I'm going to get that fixed. It's on a beam. Long story. Length times width. It's a problem. We're going to fix that. Transparency. A friend does not use another as a servant, but rather shares honestly with their most inner desires and plans. You always know the person that you can't tell anything to, because guess what? If you say it, it gets blabbed all over the universe. We all know that, yeah, right? And if you don't, you're that person. No one's telling you anything, that's why. Jesus did this by no longer considering his disciples servants. He released them into friendship, which is huge. It takes people a long time to make people in the friendship zone. Yes? Jeff struggles with it. Some people are great. They're like, "You're my friend forever." Boom. And then there's other people who are like, "Well, there's a few hurdles you got to go through. You're the friend gauntlet, we call it. And if you, it's like American Ninja. And if you can get through all the obstacles and hoops, you're my friend, because you earned it." No. Transparency. When we bring people into friendship, Jesus included them in his inner circle. He made known to them what the Father intended, what the Father wanted, what God the Father wanted, a relationship of adoption, bringing everyone in. And that's a big step. And we all need to pray about that type of being transparent. Obviously, protecting ourselves, because you can't be transparent with everyone, but with your friends. Again, you sacrifice for them and will sacrifice for them, and you will be transparent. Those go together, sacrifice, transparency. Because if you're a true friend and you're sacrificing for them and you're transparent on each side, you're not going against each other. You're not trying to use things against one another. You're there for each other. Because why? Because greater has no one than this, than love, as Christ did the church. So bring it all together, transparency. It's tough to be transparent. I sometimes get in trouble for being too transparent. That's why my shins hurt all the time from Michelle kicking me under the table. You need to keep some things to yourself. she says. And then now I start a new rule where I say, Michelle, stop kicking me under the table. Doesn't go over well, but I'm being transparent. Being transparent. Transparency. But you bring people in and you share and you love. And again, there are levels of that. There are levels of that. You have to be careful. But again, transparency, if they're in that group of friends. Third quality is intentionality. Be intentional, is what I'm trying to say. Being a friend, a quality, is being intentional. A friend is befriended or chosen by conscious commitment of the will. Let me tell you that again. A friend is befriended or chosen by a conscious commitment of the will. This type of love chooses or prefers or is loyal to another person. Jesus said in verse 16, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." So this takes it to another level. Because sometimes we can choose to say, I want them to be my friend, but they don't choose back. What do you do with that? Still love, still care. When we're all doing the same thing, intentionally choosing to love and befriend others, if you're all doing it together, you're transparent, you're sacrificing, and you're intentional. You're all doing the same thing. So the fear of that being rejection shouldn't be there. But yet, we fear rejection. Why? Because it's rejection. We don't like it. Nobody wants to be rejected. So we fear it. So what do? We reject them before they reject us. Why? Because we're afraid of rejection. It's a circle. And it just keeps going and going because of fear. Take fear out of it. Put love into it. It stops that, and you're together, loving, sacrificing, being intentional. We should be imitators of what Christ wants. We should mimic what he does. We by enabling and empowering and initiating his grace. This passage we read today is sandwiched by parallel verses 12 and 17 that Jesus commanded for friendship, that it's to love one another. So I didn't make it up. The soapbox continues. We will still continue to do this. So don't forget that Jesus provides this model of friendship to the disciples. He's showing them that. And we are standing on the outside watching this, wanting to glean as much information as we can out of that. And we should be showing genuine friendship as Christ did throughout the body. And truly, we will produce fruit that is Christ-centered. And if we're all doing it, then we produce a church that is Christ-centered, producing that same fruit. If we don't have that type of friendship, then what do we have? We don't have anything else to offer. If we don't have Christ and his example, we're just a bunch of people hanging out singing songs and listening to some guy talk about stuff. So Christ-like friend is someone who loves. It is no accident that Christ said the identifying mark of discipleship should be to love one another. By this shall all men know you are my disciples. Not by tithing, which don't think that you shouldn't. Not by church attendance. Again, you gotta come. Come on, man. Seriously, you're killing me here. Not by doctrinal expertise. Doctrine is very important. Yet, that's not how you're a disciple. And not by good deeds, which is great, but it's by love. And in the end, Christ was the ultimate sacrifice. And so today I want to talk to you about 9/11. It's been 15 years that the World Trade Center was hit. I remember watching it very clearly. I remember turning on the TV and going, is this a movie? What is this? What is happening? And I looked at the floors that they were on and where it was hit. And my first instinct was how is anyone above that going to get out of there? They don't have ladders tall enough to go up there. Like, how are they possibly going to do this to get through everything? That was my first instinct. And then not realizing that it would collapse. And you can be a conspiracy theorist all you want, but whatever. The thing is, a plane went into the building. It's pretty simple. And so I wondered how, if I was in that situation, what would I do? And the terror that others must have felt. And I just couldn't figure out how anyone was going to reach it. Reach those that were above that area. And then they said a plane crashed in the Pentagon, another went down in Pennsylvania. died at World Trade Center. 125 died at the Pentagon, 64 in the plane that hit it. 45 died in the plane that crashed in Pennsylvania. There are still families today that are dealing with no mom, no dad, or both. And then, 15 years, we move on, life goes on, and it does. There are those that are suffering with injuries. Some have died from cancer, from all the stuff they breathed in, and they weren't even in the tower. They were in there going and helping. There's lots of things happening, and we can only imagine what it would be like to go through something like this. But it's in these times that Christians need to put down their agendas. They need to forget about all the other nonsense that's going around, and they need to live out what Christianity really is. There are enough Christians talking about stuff. Enough, right? Everyone's got an opinion. Everyone's this, everyone's that. It's time to stop talking and doing something about it. It's time to start thinking about people first instead of ourselves. In New York City, St. Paul's Chapel, right there, I was there a few months ago. I didn't go in. We were doing something else, but we walked by it. That church, right after the it all went down and they were doing some, they were going in trying to pull people out and stuff, they were a haven for everyone to come, all the volunteers to come in that church. Out of all the places, and if you've been there, it's very close to the Trade Center, nothing happened to that building. And so they were a beacon of hope and love and care, a beacon of Christianity in all that. Over 5,000 volunteers came, and it was a hospice for all of them. They gave them food, water, clothing, medical treatment, a place to sleep. You name it, that church stepped up and helped out. And a lot of people called it the little church that stood. That's love. The World Trade Center, the new one, that's the new one. I took a picture of that. I went up to the top of that. That is the new building that they put in place of the other two. And then if you show the next slide, the memorial, that is where the towers were, one of the towers were, and that is a fountain, and there's a giant hole in the middle, and it just goes. And it's all along the side are the names of those that died at Ground Zero, all the way around. It is unbelievable. When you walk in there, it is like mind-blowing how incredible that is. And then I really needed to go to Ten House. Those are six of the gentlemen that died. So we rang the doorbell. They let me in, flashed them a badge. Hey, brothers, let me in. So we got in, and they showed us this memorial that they have in the hall where they park the trucks. And he went through and told me, the guy that was there, his friends, told me about each one of them. And he gave us a little talk about it. And I was like, this is unreal. And then the next slide is, that's a door off the truck when the towers hit. So this is real. This is real stuff. And then if you see the next slide, there's a few blanks. Those are pictures of all the people that have died. And there's some blanks because they don't have everyone's picture. But yeah, so when you think about it, it's pretty massive. It's pretty incredible, and it's... We have to remember these things. And a lot of those were emergency services. And they ran in when everybody else was running out. And it's... Unless you've done it, you don't understand that it takes a certain type of personality to go this way when everyone's running this way, and you got to go find out what's going on. It's pretty unbelievable. It's not hero complex, although some can have that, but it's not that. It's that inner desire to help and to love and to care, to show that love. Whether they know it or not, I tell you, when I speak to emergency service workers, whether they are now, after years of doing it, you get a little bit hard, a little bit, because you have to kind of detach yourself from things to a point. But when they all start out, they want to help people. They want to help people. They all wanted to help people. Some of them, yes, were in the tower as well. But they wanted to help people. Not being heroes, but helping others in their time of need. Today we honor those that died in this particular terrorist attack. They woke up, they kissed their loved ones goodbye, not knowing it would be for the last time. They grabbed their coffee off to work just a little bit early today, because I got to get some work done in the office. Whether they worked in the office or cleaned the windows or washed the floors or whatever they did, were security at the front door, it was another day at work. Others boarded their plane safely. They sat down. Excuse me, sir, no blankets while we take off. It might flap and choke you to death, so put that away. They sat down, thinking that they would reach their destination, thinking that they would be doing what they need to do, and not knowing that today they had other plans. There are also those that we honor today because we have been tragically reminded every year for 15 years of the danger that they face on a daily basis as they respond to a call, to a fire, to a police incident, to a medical emergency, to a search and rescue, not knowing what they will find. They do it everywhere around you, in familiar places, far away and close to you. They are nurses, they are doctors, they are police officers, they are ambulance attendants, and I want to just point out George Schindel, brand new paramedic. You can go up and talk to him later, it's awesome. I can't wait to see you on scene and work with you. Police officers, firefighters, search and rescue personnel going into places where we don't go, search and rescue. Jeff does that. Jeff Owens. Those that run in when, again, everybody's running out. These people know the danger, they know what has to be done, and they will do anything they can help for somebody who is in danger, for someone they don't know. So I would ask you, if you see a paramedic, a police officer, search and rescue, firefighter, doctors, nurses, thank them. I guarantee you, they'll get embarrassed because they don't need thanks. They appreciate it, but they're going to do it whether they get thanked or not, because it's not a job that you need to be thanked for, but it's nice. The things that you don't have to see, they see. I deal a lot of critical incident stress and post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD. I deal with people who suffer from that all the time. And it is something that is, you can't explain it. You don't know unless you're going through it. The stuff that they see impacts them. What they do about that is important early on. I'm not preaching at you, but I'm telling you to deal. It's very important to protect your mind. And so pray for them. Pray for them that those thoughts, those visions, those things won't haunt them. Because I'm telling you right now, every dead person I've seen, every horrific accident plays like this, right in my head. It's brutal. But you don't have to see it. And that's a good thing. Always be ready to love on somebody. Give that sacrificial love. No matter what it is, do it. It's not wimpy to sacrifice for someone else. It's actually pretty incredible. You can do that here. You can do that with the people around you. You can do that in your neighborhood. And the key is you don't need anything in return. You're just doing what you've been commanded to do. You're loving others as Christ did the church. My question to you is, how are you sacrificing your life for others as Christ did the church? It looks different for all of you. Not everyone can do certain things. I get that. What are you doing to help others? Again, sacrifice, the definition. And if we took God out of all of this, it's still a good thing to help others and to sacrifice for others. But because Jesus said to do it, I'm going to do it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for those that help us in our time of need. I just pray for this congregation right now. I pray for everyone in this room. If they're struggling with relationships, if they're having trouble with friendships, they can't keep them, they push people away, they struggle with insecurities, and so they push back first so they won't get hurt. I pray that through your Holy Spirit, you will stop that. You will help stop them. Not putting their value in whether or not they are needed by others, but putting their value in you. Putting their value in the fact that you love them and you told us to love others. And so, those that struggle with relationships, touch them, help them. Those that are great friends, bring more around and just let them love on people. And when we're in need, help us to recognize it in other people. Help us be ready to come around and lift them up, build them up, encourage them. More importantly, let us do it because we want to. Let us initiate it. Let us be sacrificial. Let us be intentional in our friendship. Not because we can get something out of it, but because we need to and others need it. And so I just pray right now in the name of Jesus that you will protect those that are struggling. Lift them up. Encourage them. Bring people around them. Let them not push away. Let them not be so needy that they never get through this. Turn the light on for them. Let them see. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hope you have a great week. We'll see you next weekend. Be safe out there. And go thank a paramedic. There's one right over there.